All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and on this episode with me, I have one of my local wrestling talents, and that's Caleb Crush. Caleb, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
I am hanging in there. As of the time of this recording, we are enjoying the wonderful Colorado stormy afternoon weather. It's crazy, huh? Just hit me, and we're just talking offline. It's heading Caleb's way, so hopefully we'll get this interview in before that happens.
Yeah, I'm sitting outside right now, and I actually see these crazy storm clouds coming in. So, yeah, hopefully it doesn't hit me too bad over here, but yeah.
True. All right, so first question out of the chute. How did you get introduced into this wacky world of professional wrestling? Did you watch it as a youngster?
Actually, when I was really, really young, I used to watch Saturday morning wrestling with my grandma and grandpa. And I remember back in the day, my favorites were like the Bushwhackers. And I pretty much kind of fell out of it for a little while. And in about 97 is when I really started getting back into it. I really liked Brian Pillman and like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, so the kind of the wild guys, the just out of control guys, the guys that just
yeah, absolutely over the top big characters that you know had to I don't know really stood out to me, you know, those rebellious, freaking crazy types for sure.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, then the next question is, how did you make the leap into doing this?
Well, I actually was a huge ECW fan, like the old ECW, not WWE ECW.
Okay.
And I was planning on going to the House of Hardcore because I actually got the number from ECW TV and pay-per-views and stuff like that. But then the promotion folded and I was heartbroken and I randomly saw this commercial on UPN. It was like a 15-second commercial for RMCW TV, and I had no clue about independent promotions. I thought it was just WCW, WWF, and ECW. And this 15-second commercial advertised RMCW TV on at 2 in the morning. And yeah, I recorded it every week, and I was like, oh my God, they had advertising their school. And I went to a couple shows at high schools, and shortly after that, I started training with them.
Oh, cool. And when was this?
I was actually 15 at the time.
Oh, wow.
And my mom actually made a deal with me where she would let me, she paid the $500 down payment. She took out some bonds that I had, and then I would have to pay the $200 a month to pay for my ring dues and everything. And I thought, though, the big world of pro wrestling that in the indies, I was like, oh, man, that's cool. I'll put all this money into this, and I'll be a big superstar right away. Like, these RMCW guys must be making, like, $500 a show at least. Boy, was I wrong. But, yeah.
Okay. So and she, I assume she had to sign parental waivers and all that kind of good stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually working at Safeway at the time, so I would train on Tuesdays and Thursdays, actually, with Lonnie Valdez. And Robert Amador was my other main trainer, which actually he's passed away now, which miss him to death. But yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. So what was like the first day of training like? A lot of nerves? And do you meet the Lonnie right away?
Yeah. I had met Lonnie at a couple of the RMCW shows I had gone to. And he was always super, super welcoming to me. Like, he took a liking to me pretty much as soon as he met me. But, I mean, I was probably 120 pounds back then. You know, I was itty-bitty, and now I'm almost 200. So, you know, but he's always been more than welcoming me and trying to help me out. And he always had big plans for me. Like, he even told me that, like, back in the day when I was, I don't know, it was definitely tough. And I wanted to quit at times because my body was just so small back then. Like, I couldn't take the abuse like I can now. And Lonnie was like, dude, just hang in there, man. You know, he's like, I got some plans for you, kid. So, yeah.
Well, I've had him on the show before, and he has big plans for everybody. He wants to put everybody over more than where he's at. So, I mean, he's definitely one of the veterans of the Colorado scene. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, he he's always kind of been like that and always wanted to help people out and help build this Colorado scene. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then the next question is, how does it feel working alongside Lonnie against him on the other side of the ring? What's that like? Trainer
Oh, it's
versus student.
awesome. It's really awesome, like especially now that I can actually work. Because back in the day, I definitely was not on point. And nowadays, I'm a lot more confident in my abilities and my strengths and my weaknesses I'm aware of. And it's just great. Me and him have really good chemistry, and seems like every time we're in the ring, it's just super, super easy and fun. So yeah.
All right. And then what was your first match? And additionally, did you know that it was your first match or did it get thrown on you?
It randomly, well, I actually ended up quitting RMCW because they ended up having some more ring dues that they didn't tell me about originally. And I was still in high school at the time working at Safeway, and it was just burning me out. So I stopped going. And out of the blue, Lonnie actually hit me up and he told me he was starting his own promotion called Saga Underground. And he wanted me to possibly manage one of his guys. And they were having like kind of a Ring of Honor cruiserweight style tournament on the show. And Smokey Carmichael actually wasn't able to make the show. And I was in the ring before the show, kind of wrestling around with some of the guys from Utah and stuff. And he came over to me and he told me, "Hey man, don't get your hopes up, but if Smokey doesn't make it, we might end up throwing you into a match tonight."
Oh.
And I ended up in a tag team match where it was me and Paco from Utah, or it actually was me and Epic against Paco from Utah and Damon Chase. And it was a tag match, and I was super, super nervous. But Damon told me he was going to kick me hard. He's like, "Don't worry, my kick pads will absorb a lot of it." Well, during that match, he kicked me in my lower back, and three fingers on my left hand went numb and scared me to death. Thank God it was a tag team match. I was able to roll over and tag out. But yeah, it was a great experience, I will say, but it was thrown on me last minute. But yeah.
No. Well, and I always ask this too, if when it's the last minute, you had your ring gear with you?
It was funny. I had brought my knee pads and my wrestling shoes and my kick pads. Like, that's one thing they always teach you right off the bat as soon as you get into the business. Always have your gear. If you're even going to a show, an indie show, have your gear, because if you're there, people don't show up, you might end up getting thrown on the show and getting booked, you know? And there's nothing better than being out there in front of those fans.
Yeah, all right. Okay, yeah, so you kind of half had your ring gear, you're trying to say.
Yeah, it pretty much just in general, I was taught that way. I was
Yeah.
taught pretty much like a old school way, just the way, you know, when you go into a locker room, you shake everybody's hand, and no matter what, you just go over to every person, like almost even if they're talking to somebody, just as respect, you do that. And just within that, they also teach you bring your gear. Always bring your gear.
Right. Okay. And how long have you been in the wrestling scene?
It's actually really crazy now. I was hanging out with my buddy John not too long ago, and he's like, "How long have you been wrestling?" I go, "Well, pretty much since I was been in the wrestling scene since I was like 16, and I'm about to be 34. So like half my life I've been
Oh,
wrestling."
wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy now, but yeah.
Oh, well, so then do you consider yourself a wrestler, a veteran of the scene, or are you just still trying to learn and have fun with it?
I'm still the thing is, I consider myself a vet to a certain degree, but not near like how I should, just because of how much I wrestle. Because I wrestle like 1 to 2 times a month, and usually, and you know, occasionally I'll wrestle 4 to 5 times a month if it's like if I'm traveling doing different stuff. But back in the day, they used to wrestle, you know, like I don't know, 15 times every month, like consistently. So to consider themselves a vet. So I consider myself probably half the time in wrestling.
Okay, I got you. I understand. Yeah, that makes sense. I get you. All right.
Yeah.
So far, who of your favorites opponents to work with have been? Either as a single competitor and the, or as a and then a tag team and then of course a tag team partner.
Let's see. Probably I've had some really, really good tag partners and really good opponents. Probably my favorite tag partner is got to be either Jack Macidal, who's no longer with us. He was just a super good guy. Like, me and him had a really good friendship as is. And when you have, like, a good friendship with somebody and they happen to be a worker, usually you have really, really good chemistry in the ring. We had really good chemistry. And then also the guy, I don't even know if Lucha Underground's around anymore, but Martin, Marty the Moth, used to be my tag partner. We used to be Team Shake It before he was on WWE Tough Enough. And that was a really, really fun tag team as well. But opponent-wise, probably Rob Rizin's probably one of my favorite opponents. I've wrestled him more than anybody. Me and him can go in there and just barely call anything because we know each other so well. Lonnie's always a really good opponent because he trained me. He knows exactly my strengths and weaknesses, like I said earlier. And Royce Isaacs is definitely one of my favorites too. But otherwise, one of my last matches I had, actually probably it's been a little while, but I had a really, really good match with Cody Devine not too long ago too. So yeah, it's kind of all over the board. But probably my favorite match ever was I got to wrestle my freaking hero, Steve Corino, on a Primo show like a couple years ago, and that was amazing. So yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I think that was going to be my next question is, have you had any moments where you go, you kind of are in awe going, I can't believe I just got to do that, or I'm going to do this, get to step in the ring with this person, or we're going to try to do this spot or something like that?
Yeah. Working with Corino was so, so crazy. Like, just as this theme music hit and I see him walking in the ring, that was really like starstruck, but still like, you got to have your game face on and be out there and go do it. Otherwise, me and Lonnie years ago, I think in like 2007, we did this like gut check in the Impact Zone. And when we did this gut check in the Impact Zone, like, ended up being like super, super crazy. I did really, really well with it. And I ended up getting an email from Terry Taylor that was saying that he was going to do everything in his power to get me a dark match. And I don't know, just super, super crazy. Like, the experiences I've got to have in wrestling. But yeah, that's probably the two of the biggest, I would say.
Yeah, cool, cool. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you about a particular favorite experience that I got to witness on the fan perspective. So a while back, Lucha Libre and Laughs had a tag team tournament, intergender tag team tournament, and you got to team up with Dahlia Doom. First of all, I'd say you guys probably were very well paired, if not the one of the best, if not the one of the best pairings of the whole tournament. How was it working with Dahlia?
Oh, she's super, super fun, easy. She's super upbeat and wants to do a bunch of moves, a bunch of high-flying ones, where me, I'm like, I want to have I love to throw a little comedy into my matches, mm-hmm. but yeah, she... real upbeat, and I felt like me and her had really good chemistry. Like, we meshed really well, and she was willing to work with me and vice versa. And I don't know, definitely we're able to complement each other, I feel like.
Yeah, probably the best character pairing, like I said, you know, for the tournament.
Right on, thanks, man.
Yeah, and then, of course, you guys won it all.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
How was that?
It was cool. It was really, really cool, man. Me and her, you know, we'd never actually ever worked together until that tournament. And it was kind of almost like the WWE style mixed tag tournament, but we could actually interact with the girls, you know, and they could interact with us. So it was like, it was definitely different and super, super fun. But yeah, it was a very big deal. It was awesome to main event and win the main event, especially tagging with somebody I had never tagged with before.
Yeah. And did you do any preparation, you know, kind of watch some of her matches or anything like that to kind of get a feel of how it was going to work with between the two of you?
The only preparation I did for it was actually just watch her the last time she was out.
Okay.
And usually a lot of times, depending unless I'm actually wrestling the person, you know, I just like to go back there and see what they want to do or if this will work well or if we could play off each other this way or that way. Okay. But you know, I knew the first round was going to be Anaya and his girl. And I knew those two pretty well, so I was like, oh, this will be easy to put this together. Like, it's super simple. And a lot of times, if you over get ready, I feel you can actually end up like botching more stuff and messing things up.
Right, and then it just, it may just not look so spontaneous per se if we're breaking the
Well,
fourth wall.
exactly, because it's supposed to look like a struggle, and I mean, it's a performance, but it's supposed to look like a struggle, and you're actually out there fighting. You know, you don't want everything to look completely choreographed.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. All right, and then we're gonna fast forward from there just a little bit. Kind of buried the lead a little bit, but you now are the current Triple L Lucha Libre and Laughs champion. You won a contenders match, but then after the contenders match, there was a little kink thrown at you. You had to solve a Rubik's Cube. How was that?
Well, it was kind of messed up because it was like, okay, cool, you're gonna give me a possible title match and then you're gonna give me a Rubik's Cube. I'm like, Jesus. So I went throughout the crowd during the show and had people help me out with it. And to be fair, I mean, I love all of our fans, but they weren't much help. But one of my buddies actually helped me figure out most of it. And yeah, just had to wait for that opportune moment, man.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that was cool. I loved it. It was from this side, it was like when that was thrown at you, I was like, oh, I just kind of popped because it just was like you it just was like it just was like, if we're not gonna maybe break the fourth wall, but Nick was just like trying to throw everything at you from keeping you from the championship.
Yeah, it definitely, absolutely. And it was even better too because I came out during the Divas match before that, like I was gonna try to get my title shot.
Yeah.
And so yeah. And Nick told me I was not allowed to get a title shot for the women's title. So, you know, yeah, I guess you take what you can get, you know.
Right, yeah. And yeah, and then you got a brand new championship title. New they redesigned it a little bit. How was that? What does that feel like to be given the esteem to after a new title, new design, to get that be held on you?
Well, it was really, really amazing and very surreal just because I've actually never been the main champion of a company. I've held pretty much every other title. I've been multiple time tag champ, pretty much promotions, Intercontinental champion and everything around that. But I've never been the guy of the promotion. So it was super surreal as is. And then to have a brand new belt, it was just badass. So yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, from here, where do you see yourself? Do you have any like dream opponents, anywhere, anyhow, anytime? Anybody you like to work with?
I keep trying to get Nick to bring out Shannon Moore, man. I'm like, I really want to work Shannon Moore. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. He's still working. I keep trying to get him to bring out Shannon Moore and his girlfriend because his girlfriend's a worker too. And it would be a great deal to bring both them out. But otherwise, right now, I'm just having fun with it and doing the indie thing. I'm like, if things happen, I mean, I always love being an extra for WWE. I'd love to work a dark match or just, you know, get on 205 Live or something.
Right.
But
And
yeah,
you've
just
go ahead.
oh no, you're good.
I say, and you've been an extra for WWE many times.
I've been
Is
an
that
extra a
right?
few times, yeah,
Yeah.
like probably 4 times, and then I've been backstage at TNA, well, when they were TNA, I should say,
Right.
like multiple times and stuff like that. But yeah, I've been an extra like 4 times for WWE. I've been on WWE TV. My favorite accomplishment is I'm a big toy collector, and I happen to be in a Toys R Us commercial with WWE because of me being an extra. So yeah.
Oh, cool. Is
Yeah.
that tell the listeners which one that is, if they can find it online.
It happens to be the Bayley Toys R Us commercial where
Okay.
it's with the Bayley exclusive action figure. And you could see me in the back. I'm just on my phone texting. And then she ends up giving Jeffrey, which is the giraffe, a big hug. And afterwards, she comes walking through and high fives us. And I get a high five, Jeffrey. You could see the back of my head. But otherwise, I'm in the shot like right at the beginning, just on my phone texting, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, cool. That's definitely all right. Cool. So, all right. Okay. So, Anything beyond that? Anything? Any aspirations, or just kind of keeping it local and doing just a few times a month wrestling?
I keep it local, do it, a couple times a month. And then also, I want to go back to Utah again and wrestle. Mainly, wrestling out there is a bonus. I have a bunch of friends out there, like I said, like Martin South and Dallas, which is Neil. And yeah, just a bunch of good friends out there. Like, I go out there to party, but wrestling just happens to be a bonus. So, but otherwise, I'd love to also go out and wrestle in Kansas City again, wrestle with my buddy Derek Stone, which also helped play a part in kind of fine-tuning some of my wrestling too, by the way.
Oh, so he did he I know people if people don't know Derek Stone, but he's definitely definitely a name in this area. So he got to do some of your training and or kind of just guide you a little bit and help you with a few things.
Yeah, because he was from Kansas City and everything, or I think he lives in South Dakota now, but he came out to Colorado for a while, and he just kind of helped fine tune a lot of little weird kinks that I had, like me just needing to slow down more, doing, less is more a lot of times. I don't need to, lay in five punches. I could do two, and just certain little things like that. And he's the one who actually put a good word in for me where I got to do some TV out in Kansas City before for Metro Pro Wrestling, and then also was signed to a contract for a short time with NWL, which is now gone, but that promotion was amazing. But yeah, Derek definitely had a pretty decent influence on my wrestling career, if you will.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, those are going to be some names that the listeners of this podcast on our network will definitely know, because we have another podcast, if you don't know, that's actually based in Kansas City, the Spanish Announce Table. So they definitely know
Okay, cool.
Metro Pro and NWL before it had its untimely demise, unfortunately. I guess that's the nicest way to say it. It was a great idea, just unfortunately, it is what it was, I like the
Yeah,
idea.
kind of potential, but yeah, like I think just putting too many eggs in one basket or something,
Yeah, that's definitely a great way to look at it. Okay. All right. Well, Caleb, I want to appreciate you coming on the podcast, but before I let you go, if people wanted to follow up with you on social media, where could they do that?
They could search me on Facebook, which my real name is Josh Sipple, and my last name is spelled Sipple. And same thing with Instagram. If you want to follow me, you can see me pretty much going to buy liquor at the store wearing the championship belt,
Everywhere.
me partying wearing the belt because I never take that bad boy off, and I don't think it's going to be leaving my waist like ever, pretty much. So yeah.
All right. Okay, yeah, and we actually ought to promote the show, actually, the Triple O show coming up this Friday too. So who are you facing?
I'm actually in a four-way match against Filter, who's also another one of my favorite opponents. Anaya, who's always great, and Colt Cabana in a four-way match for the Triple L championship. So those are some pretty good contenders there, but I don't plan on losing that belt any day soon. But come to the show and come check it out. It's at the Oriental Theater on the 7th. Show starts at 8. And also on that show, the 1%, which is Royce Isaacs, is in that tag team, and also both Seidel brothers, formerly known as Evan Bourne and Mike Seidel, will also be wrestling on the show.
Right, yeah, it's Triple L's anniversary show, so it's gonna be a big party.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Also, Eric Cannon's gonna be out for it, and it's gonna be a good one. Yeah, like the card is stacked.
Exactly. Cool. All right. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, Caleb, once again, thank you for coming on to the show.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks. Once again, a big thank you to Caleb Crush, aka Josh Sipple, since we're breaking the fourth wall a little bit there on this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. Catch him this Friday at Lucha Libre and Laughs, their anniversary show. So far, so good. A lot of great talent, like he was talking about, coming in to town this time around. The, of course, the four-way with himself and Anaya, Colt Cabana, and Big Filt Dog going to go in there for the championship. Also, the 1% consisting of Royce Isaacs and Jarrell Nelson are going to be in action. Mike and Matt Sydal, you guys, of course, know one of them from WWE days. Eric Cannon, Darren Corbin, Alligato in action as well. This is going to be a great show, and if you are anywhere close to the Denver, Colorado area, you should definitely show up. So, hey, no, we missed an episode last week with the holiday and a lot of other stuff going on. Just wasn't able to find the time to get out episode, but I promise you we will make it up with some bonus episodes in the future. And we, Mr. Fourth Row's got some other stuff cooking. Can't really tell you what's going on, but just all kinds of great stuff. But some of it I'll be able to tell you here now. Some of it will be in the future. But let's quickly go back into the week in review, or weeks in review, since I last recorded. And basically we had on the back in May, we had the Rocky Mountain Pro Ignition and Charge on the 23rd, as well as the Rocky Mountain Pro Experience on the 24th of May. Both of those shows were great, along with the Romeros. You know, it's just so much fun watching and developing all these friendships with the wrestling talent and all of the promotions that are in the Colorado area. And Colorado, I'm, you know, like I've been talking with a lot of people, is a hotbed. And, you know, the country needs to know it. We got so many promotions here that there's a lot of great talent, and the big guys should be definitely giving us an eye, you know, towards us. And then, unfortunately, I did not make any shows the week of the Memorial Day, mainly because my vehicle had broke down. Got it back. Seems to be running better now. But I watched Rocky Mountain Pro Supercharged 5 on Twitch and Right Now TV. So that was really good. So there was a little confusion whether Supercharged was the 23rd or the 30th of May. Looks like it was the 30th. So it's just a little bit of weird scheduling, like I said, when we have 5 Thursdays or 5 Fridays in the month. Then it was pretty much a quiet weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and that now brings us to what we have coming up this week. At the time of this recording, that this is going to be out on Thursday, Rocky Mountain Pro Ignition and Charge tapings from the Rocky Mountain Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling Quarry, Jefferson County Fairgrounds. Get tickets. Well, if you want to get tickets for tonight's event, I guess you'll just have to show up, but you can always purchase tickets in advance, save a little bit of money for the next upcoming weeks at rmpwrestling.com. And then on Saturday, or sorry, on Friday, we have Lucha Libre and Laughs anniversary show, So Far So Good. Hit up LuchaLibreAndLaughs.com, or you can go to the Oriental Theater, where it's at. Check their website, theorientaltheater.com, and you can purchase tickets there as well. This is going to be, like I said, this is if you like Lucha Libre and Laughs and you're undecided about going, you should go. Tickets are going to sell out. There's no ifs, uns, and buts about it. They're going to sell out with this being the anniversary show and the talent that they've got coming in for this. Then on Saturday, New Era Wrestling presents Bedlam from Mile High Comics, the world's largest comic book store. You can get your tickets at NewEraProWrestling.com if you want to get them in advance. If you want to get tickets day of in person, bring a canned food item, and you're going to save a little bit of money on your ticket there. They're doing their food drive for this month, Feeding Denver's Hungry, I believe, is the charity that they are collecting for. So who's with me? Who's going to all these events? And then just additionally, I was just going to say there's going to be a seminar, by I Am the Provider down in Colorado Springs at the Empower Training Center, 595 North Murray Boulevard in Colorado Springs, by, you know, I Am the Provider, aka Joey is Dead. I'll just give it to there to get at him, see if he hears this and gets back to me about that. So should be fun. You guys are interested in the thing, it's going to be $30 at the door, and it's going to be an amazing opportunity. Not only will you be able to get some great feedback, but I Am the Provider is probably one of the best talkers that we have in the Colorado area. So, but anyways, that is it for what's upcoming. Just want to give a couple plugs to the Trending Topics Network for hosting this podcast. And if you guys like this show, please go ahead and subscribe or stay subscribed to the feed. And you can catch other great shows such as the Eurovision Showcase, All Beer Inside, the Spanish Announce Table, Wrestling with Cheers, so much more on the feed. And then also additionally, Wrestling with Altitude is currently working on getting a separate feed out there. It has propagated to a few of the podcast catching clients out there. I believe it's on Spotify, possibly on Google Podcasts right now. It's going to get all over the place, so just keep an eye out for it. I'm going to go ahead and backload all the previous episodes of this and get it on out there. So if you just want to stay subscribed just to the Fat Feed, but that would be great. But get it out. Any questions for me, go ahead and email podcast@wrestlingwithaltitude.com. That also is the website, wrestlingwithaltitude.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else that you can find on social media. No Instagram, but you can just follow the Twitter and Facebook for the most part when you want to get any kind of pictures. So anyways, that is it for now, and I want to thank you all for listening and having fun wrestling with Altitude.